In today's Mishnah, we'll learn the fifth and final Mishnah from the second Perek of Masechta Kinim, and then we'll begin the third Perek. The Mishnah begins. Chatat mikan v'olam mikan v'vastuma be'emtza. So we'll deal with the situation, referring to the diagrams, where we have a distinct ken stuma, that's a pair of birds that have yet to be designated which is a chatat and which is a ola, and a chatat on the right of it, or more than one chatat, and an ola on the left of it. So Mishnah says, Parach mena emtza letzadin. If the birds that were in the center flew to each side, achad helach v'achad helach. So one of the birds is now mixed with a chatat, and another bird is mixed with a ola. Mishnah says, lo hifsid klum. He doesn't lose anything. Or she doesn't lose anything. Why? Ela yomar, we can simply say, ze shahalach etzel chataot chatat, ve shahalach etzel olot olot, ola. Meaning, since when it came to this kent duma, one had to be offered as a chatat, and one had to be offered as an ola anyway, that flew to the right, we consider as if it should be offered as a chatat, and that flew to the left should be offered as an ola. Now you might think, well, what's the chiddush? And meaning, we know that, so why would we think otherwise? So the Yair Kino explains as follows. He says, one might think that a ken stuma is only valid if the kohen, when he offers these two birds, can determine himself which is going to be the chatat and which is going to be the olah. In this case, however, we are forcing the kohen's hand. We are telling him that the one that flew to the right has to be offered as a chatat, and that which flows to the left has to be offered as an olah. That is why this Mishnah tells us that nonetheless, that we have not lost anything and all the birds can be offered. The Mishnah then explains, Chazar la'emtza. If, however, a bird from the right and a bird from the left, both of which are mixtures, flew back to the center, we say ha'emtza'im, those in the middle, yamutu, have to be left to die. That is because we're concerned that it was a chatat and olah that flew to the middle, and once you have a mixture of a chatat and olah, as we've learned in the first parak, they have to be left to die. However, elu yikruvu chataot ve'elu yikruvu olot. Those birds remaining on the right and those on the left can simply be offered the ones on the right as chataot and the ones offered as olot, respectively. Now, Mishnah says, chazar min ha'emtza, if the birds in the center flew out to either side, then we say, min ha'emtza letzadim harei kulam yamutu, they all have to be left to die. And that is because we've got these animals, these birds have to be left to die, and now they're flying to each side, and they get mixed with one with chataot and one with olot, and we learned in that situation previously that all those birds have to be left to die. Now, I read the Mishnah as chazar min ha'emtza, however, some Mishnah have chazar o parach min ha'emtza. I read it as chazar min ha'emtza, because that's how most Rishonim read this Mishnah. However, meaning to omit the words o parach. However, if you want to see more information for how you read the Mishnah with these words, see footnote 36 in the Sefer. Let's continue. Ein mevim toren keneged b'nei yona v'lo b'nei yona keneged toren. Now, a point we have not yet addressed is the birds, the type of birds from which the bird offerings can be brought. And it's only one of two different types. One is either torin, which are turtle doves, meaning mature turtle doves, and the other are b'nei yona, which is young pigeons. What the Mishnah is teaching us now is one cannot bring a tor to partner with a b'nei yona, or a b'nei yona to partner with a tor. In other words, our pair of birds have to be from the same type, either all torin or all b'nei yona. So Mishnah explains ketzad, how so? Ha'isha she'evia chatata tor, volata b'nei yona, tichpol v'tavi olata tor. Which means as follows, if one woman set aside or offered, there's a discussion in Mefarshim whether it's being set aside would be enough to determine. However, if we'll just explain it as follows, that if she brought a chatat as a tor and then an ola as a ben yonah from a different type, then we say, no, tichbol v'tavi ola ta tor. She'd have to bring an additional bird, an additional tor, to as an ola. In other words, that another bird of the same type as the original chatat has to now be brought as an additional ola. So the first chatat determines the type. What happens if it's different? What if ola tator the chatata ben yona? What if the ola was offered first from one type and the chatat from another? Now here we have a debate. The first opinion says, tichbol v'tavi olata minan yona. Meaning, despite the fact the chatat was offered second, nonetheless that determines the type, so the individual would have to bring an additional ola as a ben yona to match that type. Whereas Ben Azai says, no, holchim achar harishon, meaning what determines the type of the ken is that which is offered first. So we find here in the debate there is that regarding what determines the type, meaning according to the Tanakhama, it is the halachic or legal first. That is because a chatat has to be offered prior to an olah. So despite the fact that Chatat was offered second, it does not matter. The Chatat is what determines a type. Whereas the Ben Azai says it goes by what was actually offered first, or set aside, depending how you want to understand the Mishnah. But it was what was offered first. That's what determines the type of the entire ken. Mishnah then continues. Isha shehivia chatata v'meta. If a woman then brings a chatat of the pair of birds and then dies, we say yaviu hayorshin olata. The yorshim, the heirs, have to bring the ola. Now, the discussion in the Gemara, whether this means that we're referring to an olah that's already set aside. However, there's another opinion that says even if she has not yet set aside or had not yet set aside another bird as an olah prior to her passing, the heirs would still have to purchase one. Now, why is that? That is because the obligation for her to bring this pair of birds was written in the Torah. And an obligation that's written in the Torah is equivalent to a contractual loan. And a contractual loan can be recovered even from an estate of an individual even after they've passed away. So therefore, in this situation, there is, if you like, a lien on the woman's property to fulfill this, inverted commas, loan, and therefore the heirs have to bring this olah. What happens if it works the other way around? What if she brought the olata, her olah, albeit in the wrong order, and then passed away v'meta? Mishnah says, lo yaviu hayorshim chatata. The heirs would not bring the chatat in that situation. That is because, as we've learned, even if she had set aside this sin bird offering, according to the Rosh, he understands that when it comes to bird offerings as well, specifically a sin offering, if the owner or the person who had to bring it passes away, that bird would have to be left to die. Let's now learn the third perek, or begin the third perek. Mishnah says, "Bamed dvarim amurim." Based on everything we've learned so far, what is the assumption that is underlining all of the cases? That is bekohen shenimlach, or kohen nimlach. That is dealing with a kohen that prior to doing anything realizes there's a mixture and comes to Beitin to ask what to do. Aval bekohen she'eno nimlach. If we're doing a kohen, dealing with a kohen who did not come to Beitin to find out what to do, and simply offered all the birds, the Mishnah says that the ruling's going to be different. And that is as follows. If we're dealing with a case where we've got collections of two different kinim belonging to two different people, and importantly, they bring the same number of kinim, either one each, two each, or three each, then they got mixed together, the Mishnah's going to explain the halacha. So we'll deal with a simple case. We have got Rachel brought two kinim and Leah brought two kinim. So altogether, that makes a total of eight birds mixed together. Mishnah says, Asa kulam lamala, if they're all offered above as a lot, the Mishnah says, Mechetza kasher, mechetza basul. Then half are going to be valid and half are going to be invalid. That is because from these pairs of birds, half were meant to be offered as a lot and half have been meant to be offered as chatot. And not all as a lot. That's why half are valid and half are invalid. The same follows if kulam lamata, if the kohen saw this collection of birds and assumed they're all chataot and offered them all below. Mishnah says, mechetza kasher or mechetza pasul. Once again, half are going to be valid and half are going to be invalid. What happens, however, if he did chetzian lamala vechetzian lamata? If he saw this collection of birds and assumed they all belonged to one person and understood they were kinei stuma and therefore offered them half above and half below. Mishnah says, in that situation, we still have a problem. Etchela malam, those who are offered above as olot, mechetza kasher or mechetza basol. Half are going to be valid and half are going to be invalid. Vechela mata, those who are offered below as chataot, we say mechetza kasher or mechetza basol. Now, why is that? That is because we have to be concerned that all the birds that belong, for example, to Rachel were offered above as olot, and all the birds that belong to Leah were offered below as chataot. That being the case, well, since that each of the ladies had to bring half the birds as olot and half the birds as chatot, that's why half are valid and half are invalid. Now, that's really the Mishnayot today. However, an interesting point worth following is what do the ladies do now? Meaning, how do they resolve the problem? We don't know what each of them have to bring to resolve their problem. So according to the Mefaresh and the Raza, what they do is simply purchase the amount of birds that were equivalent to those or puzzles. So using our case here, they'd have to purchase four birds and then give it to the Kohen and say to the Kohen, we'd like you to, that these should be offered. They stipulate that these birds should be offered for she that truly requires them. So they bring them together and the Kohen will then offer the Ola for she that was required to bring the Ola and the Chataot for the she that required the Olot. However, according to the Rosh, he deals with the situation in a different manner. We are dealing with a case of a safek. We don't really know if either of them have to bring any chataot. It may have, by chance, all been offered correctly. So therefore, as we learned back in Masechta Kritot, if you have a case of a safek regarding sin offerings, specifically burnt sin offerings, no matter how many kinim are related, one would bring, it would satisfy, to, it would be enough, sorry, for her to simply bring one chatat, to discharge herself of the obligation to bring all the number of kinim. So therefore, each woman would have to bring one chatat, but since the olah offerings can be brought voluntarily, then we don't run a risk of offering when not required. So therefore, each woman would bring one chatat, and in our case, two olot, or to put it more broadly, the number of olot equal to the number of original kinim she required. Now, for more information, you can see footnote number 44 to understand this debate in more detail, but those are the Mishnah today.